like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is returning to the show for the first time in a few years. I think it's been at least a couple of years since you were last on. And then it was a couple of years before that that just two of you, when it was just the two-piece, were on the show as well. So you've kind of been on the podcast a number of times over the years, and every time it seems like there's a lot more happening sort of in your orbit, I guess, as a band. So I think the best way to start this off is if the three of you want to introduce yourselves, what you do in the band, and then we can sort of take it from there. So whoever wants to go first.
Yeah. My name's Haley Mattiation. I'm drummer Haley in the band.
Okay.
Filling my contacts as drummer Haley.
Yeah. I'm Haley Legary, and I play guitar and do vocals.
And I'm Haley Hunter, bass and vocals.
And it probably goes without saying that you are the Haleys. I mean, I think people could figure that out, even if they didn't see the title of the episode. But so I guess, like, it's been a few years. At the time I talked to you last, I think you were sort of working on that album that came out around 2023-ish. And so obviously a lot of things have happened since then. It seems like every time I hear your name, you're playing another bigger show and getting, like, sort of more attention, which is awesome to see. It's been very cool to sort of watch this thing keep going, this Haley train keep moving forward, whatever the bad analogy is. But so I guess what's sort of happening with this band now? Because it seems like I said, you're getting a lot of attention, you're getting a lot of big shows, you're getting to play places that maybe you haven't before or maybe never thought you would before. What's sort of the state of the band at this point? How would you describe that?
Well, we're coming off a pretty busy summer. We're always trying to elevate. So we've just come off of opening for the Beaches. That was our big thing. And so now it's going to be, might be difficult to top that, honestly. That was a big kind of bucket list thing,
yeah,
for us.
Anyone who doesn't know, the Beaches are like, we saw them before we were what we are at all today. So seeing them play really made us want to do what we do.
Yeah.
And playing for them is crazy.
Yeah, that's a cool thing to have happen, to have someone that inspired you early on and you get to be there. So, I mean, did any of this stuff, did you expect any of this when you started this band? Because it does seem like, that's a huge show. You've done a bunch of other ones recently and sort of leading up to that, too. You've had a lot of big festivals and things like that happening. Did you have any idea this was going to get to the point it's at?
And you always hope, wow, though it's like, I don't know, you say it and you kind of hope you're manifesting something. And a lot of the things we've done recently just feel very surreal, where it's like, 4, 3, maybe even 2 years ago, we wouldn't have imagined we would do something like this. But it's crazy how connected everybody is, not only in Winnipeg, but now that we've been to Toronto a couple times, it's like also very tight-knit too. So soon enough, you know, a little bit of everyone everywhere. And we get to do some cool things just like that.
Yeah, I also feel like throughout our career, like, we've been referenced to the beaches a lot as well. So it kind of was like, oh, maybe you'll open up for them. And it was always like, oh, I hope so. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, we'll see about that. But having it actually happen was like super cool. So, yeah.
And to look back, that we're at the point where we have an album and an EP out now. Like, we never would have thought that we would have been doing that. I don't know. It's just crazy to look back.
Well, and that's, we haven't talked about the EP at all since in the times you've been on the show, that came out since, and I do want to talk about that. But I think that, like, it almost seemed like when you started out, there was this whole novelty thing of having the same name. And then you had a third member who also had a version of the same name. And it was sort of like, oh, this is the band with the Haley name. But then it sort of seems like the songs have maybe sort of been able to speak for themselves. And you've got the attention, not necessarily because it seems like a gimmick. And I'm not saying it was, but I think a lot of people maybe thought, oh, it's the band with the matching names. But then you have these songs that obviously are selling the band for you, right? I mean, like you've been able to build an audience and people are getting interest in what you're doing because of the music rather than just this weird thing where you all have the same first name.
That's the thing about you find that good name that hooks them in and then they stick around for the good music.
Yeah.
We still get the question all the time. People love to hear the story. So the gimmick, I think, makes it memorable, right? If you can find your thing that's kind of sets you apart, because then I don't know, people hear the Haley thing and then they listen to our music. It's like the entry point where they go, oh, let's listen to them.
Yeah.
That genuine factor where it's like, oh, they're really, you know, they're all named Haley. And then, I don't know, it immediately makes them maybe trust us. I don't know. Kind of parents like all the things or not there.
Well, once they realize it's actually legit, right? The names actually are Haley. I think that helps. It's not just a marketing tool. So, I mean, over the course of the band's existence, I mean, when you started out, again, not to call you a novelty band, but the name thing was definitely what people gravitated towards. You have the album, you have this EP out now. How has the sound of the band changed? Obviously, and I think we talked about this last time, it grew quite a bit when you added a third member, when you added, you know, you added drums, permanent drummer to the mix and everything. But how has sort of the overall sound of the band progressed? Like, would you say that it has grown sort of along with your success and your recognition? The actual sound itself has shifted?
I think our songwriting has gotten stronger for sure. And it continues to get stronger. We did some songwriting recently and it's like, it feels really good what we're creating now. So I think that, and then also it is more focused music to being a three-piece band. I think we've had to really focus our music because we started out when we had the album coming out, we would have a fourth member join us for live shows. But then we realized we're like, let's just do this as the three, right? And that was kind of how the EP was written, with being a three-piece in mind more so. So I think you can hear that in the parts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you say it's changed genre-wise as well? I mean, I don't know how you define this. I mean, I was listening to the record and I mean, you're obviously a rock band, but that's like the most vague sort of umbrella genre possible, right? I mean, what do you call it? There's pop elements, there's alt-rock stuff, there's heavier bits. Do you have sort of an easy way to define it at this point?
I think, well, we worked with Aidan Clark on the EP and he definitely has a more pop rock production style.
Good.
I think in terms of how the EP sounds versus the album, it's got a little more poppy production on it, which we all enjoy pop music. So
versus like classic rock.
Yeah.
Kind of thing from the first album.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'd say that evolved in that sense, but we're learning how to songwrite along the way. If we're just talking about the EP, we've had the whole album at that point to go off of. So, yeah.
I wish my name was Christina, so I could learn how to dance, learn how to dance.
Christina.
does that sort of malleability, you know, having the pop side of things and then having obviously that classic rock background on the earlier songs, does that give you a lot more leeway as far as what kind of shows are available to you?
I wonder.
Because you've played some weird stuff. Like, you played country fest and things, right? Like, so, I mean, which is not what you would expect the Haleys to be playing based on the sound of the band.
Right.
Yeah, we've been more, we get booked for more of the rock stuff, I'd say, because we're too rock for pop.
Right.
You do pop shows. Although the Beaches are fairly pop right now, they're kind of going to like the indie pop rock world. But we're still a little bit more on the rock side of things. So I think we definitely lean more towards the rock shows just because of the energy. The live energy is different.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention that too, because I've seen you live a few times sort of in between the different interviews we've done. And definitely you seem like a band that is meant to be heard live. Like, the record sounds good, the EP sounds good, but you have a fun live show. Like, it's very high energy, like you said. And I think that you have some stage moves that are obviously rehearsed, and that kind of adds to the appeal of it, I think. And, well, they seem rehearsed anyway. I'm not sure if they're obviously rehearsed, but it's fun to see you live. So, I mean, do you try to capture that on the records as well? Because that's a hard thing to do, right? To get that. I mean, you can play the songs note for note exactly the same in both contexts, but having that sort of fun feel to it is often hard to replicate.
That's the thing that I think we're going to work towards and more.
Yeah, because the way our song that we did, the Scott Nolan cover of Ebb and Flow, we did that one live off the floor. And when that got mixed and mastered and we were ready to put it out, we're like, we really like the energy of this. And that's because we were all in the same room. So we tried to capture that energy when we recorded drums for the EP. And I think going forward, it's always just, you know, you can feel it.
Yeah.
Having that live. So, we also get that energy at a live show. So I think that.
Just come see it live if you want the energy.
Yeah.
They got to be a little different. Otherwise, you can just listen to the recording at home.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, what's the point of going to a show if it sounds exactly the same? Yeah, for sure. For sure. Was this EP meant to be sort of like a stopgap between albums? Like, is this leading up to a larger project? Or what do you have sort of planned for the relative near future?
A lot of new stuff. A lot of new stuff.
Yeah. We're sitting on a lot of eggs.
Singles and Platinum Cedar. Yeah.
Like
we said, we went to Toronto a couple times. We did some songwriting and a lot of good things came out of it. So we're just working on some of the products of those trips and those songwriting sessions.
Is there,
if you see us stop and perform these days,
yes,
some unreleased tunes.
And those are presumably from what's coming up next, I guess, future releases. I was going to ask something, but then you said the thing about sitting on eggs and it completely just confused my brain. I like the analogy, but no, the Scott Nolan thing. I mean, that to me anyway, I'm a huge fan of Scott Nolan. I've been listening to him for 25 years. And when that came out, it just was completely out of nowhere to me. I had no clue this was happening. And suddenly there's two artists that seem, you know, fairly drastically different sonically, and even the type of songs you write in terms of lyrics and things like that. And then it worked super well. So how did that even come about?
Scott reached out to us. It was kind of part of this other project that was happening with kind of a collaborative project between Scott and some other artists. And that one just kind of, we jumped on it right away and got it out before the rest of the project was even created. So I don't know what stage they're at with the rest of the project, but we loved that song so much that we just had to do our own arrangement of it and get it out and release it as our own single.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds good. It's a different take on it too, which is kind of nice, because I mean, it's a great song to begin with, right? So it seems like it fits though. It does. It seems like it has the right energy for you guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. And when we play it live, it definitely feels really good. And it's I think one of the crowd favorites for sure.
Yeah, we've had some requests.
Cool.
Yeah, it gets requested sometimes and we don't play it.
Is that experience of working with Scott, has that made you want to sort of reach out more and collaborate with more people? I mean, from different sort of areas of the music scene? Because Scott is not, I mean, on the surface, someone that would fit with what you do, but it worked, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. We've thought about it. And between that and just now, again, these Toronto trips, working with a songwriter who's someone outside of the Haleys.
Mm-hmm. Just co-writing.
Co-writing, collaborating, it just changes your perspective and you can create something very beautiful. So I think definitely that'd be something we'd want to do in the future.
Yeah, more collaborations.
I'd know better by now.
Do those collab, I mean, working with songwriters outside of the three of you, does that, obviously it's going to give it a different vibe because you have an extra person, person's brain involved, but has that, do you still sort of stay within the same framework of the overall sound of the band, or has that made you sort of want to branch out even more into different things?
We try to keep it as true to what, we try to keep the parts of the music that we love the most in it, even if we're writing maybe a little bit more pop or a little bit more, I guess it's
like a country thing to it, or
yeah, a little country little taste in it, but we try to keep it at heart still rock, because that's what we love to play and we love to share with people, right? We want the energy. That's like our main thing that makes us love the music.
So no matter what, the energy will still remain even as we branch out and try different stuff.
And even on our EP, of course you add like little synths, maybe like a little layer of synth underneath, but at the end it's like we want, and we kept this in mind when we were, as we make these new demos for all these new tunes further down the line, it's like we want this song to sound, we want us to be able to replicate this live, just with our instruments as much as we can, you know, like not losing any energy there. So we kept that in mind during the EP, and we want to keep that consistent with all our upcoming things as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Have you figured out at this point sort of who this band is for? Like, do you have a read on sort of who the Haley's audience is in 2025? I mean, you may have figured this out all along, I'm not sure, but I mean, it seems like every time I've been to one of your shows, and maybe it's just because of who the other bands are, but it seems like a very different crowd, like almost every time I've seen you live. And so do you have an idea, like who's the average Haley's fan?
A lot of dads.
Lots of dads.
Yeah, well, but here, okay. I get it.
I feel like our shows, because we play with like a bunch of different bands, it attracts different crowds and different people. But out of all of these crowds, there is a majority of the dads that are there that seem to come up to us after and ask us questions and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's very mixed, but the old men, they tend to stand out a little bit more.
But we got a song for them too.
We got a song for them.
He's talking for a little while.
So I feel, we'll leave it at that.
That's hilarious. I mean, as a dad who has been to see you a bunch of times, I guess I get it. I guess I'm in the demographic. But what do you think is the appeal? Like, what are the old men or whatever you want to call them? Like, why is that? I mean, I guess you have the kind of classic rock thing happening too, right? Which, why is that? Where'd that thumbs up come from? Did I do it?
I was scared.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gone. Okay.
Sorry. They reference us to like that older music sound, like for example, like Hole, Veruca Salt, or like 90s grunge, Rose Joan. We get referenced to like maybe that a lot, or reminds us of that time, I guess. Reminds him of that time. So maybe that was
when guitar heavy music was more like popular, and rock music in general, I suppose.
Yeah.
Not dead.
Oh. Rock is a live example.
Rock is coming back stronger than ever.
That's good. That's good. I mean, you're in a good place then if that's happening for sure. And then those bands you mentioned too. I mean, I grew up, you know, when I was a teenager, listening to bands like Veruca Salt and stuff and Hole and all that stuff. So I guess maybe that is sort of the appeal. But I mean, obviously, you're all younger than the dad generation of your fans. Is that all stuff that you grew up listening to as well? Or is it something you discovered sort of later on?
We definitely all grew up, I think, listening to classic rock in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In different parts of growing up. I'll be honest, I think I found it a lot later in life than...
Like in high school?
Yeah, like in high school. But then my dad was playing Janis Joplin and, you know, Joan Jett.
Right.
So, yeah, whether or not we know it, that definitely influenced us as well.
Well, and we were in a classic rock cover band. I don't know if we mentioned that in previous interviews.
I think you might have, actually. That sounds familiar. Yeah, yeah.
For a couple of years each. And that definitely,
that was huge,
influences at least the guitar playing for me.
Sure.
Because I ought to play guitar through those songs. And then, oh, look, I'm being influenced by them. Yeah.
And then the bandmates within that cover band who were very passionate as well about classic rock, learning more about it through them. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, I know at various points throughout the history of this project, at least some of you have been in other bands, sometimes multiple other bands. What is that situation like now? Or is the Haley sort of everyone's main focus right now, or are you all spread very thin with a million other projects?
Me? Well, I'm not in school anymore, but well, I do all go down the line. Everyone's got a different story. Not in school anymore, just working. I work at Birthday Cake Records, so music is very much over. I am not in show pony. I'm not sure where I was last time we talked. I left very busy, of course. Mm-hmm. So all is well. Stellar, we're working on some new tunes, but our singer was gone for a couple of years, just finishing up from school. So, that's always happening as well. And just work and the band. So
yeah,
it's very manageable now. I remember there was a time where it was not, but it feels really good now. We're planning things like
mm-hmm.
for the new year, and And it feels an exciting amount of busy. So
yeah, and we all definitely make the band a big priority in our lives because it's fun. It's kind of becoming more like it's like we can count this as work now, right? Because it feels like we're doing more. We're really active in it. So it's worth it to put a bunch of time into it. Yeah.
Cool. And are either of the other two of you playing in any other bands right now, or is it just Haley's only?
Yes.
Haley's only. That's it.
Well, I can see why this would be the priority too. I mean, even if you were in other bands, because this obviously has momentum, right? Like, I mean, you like we've discussed, you're getting a lot of big shows and everything.
Don't you think it's strange? Some things never change. Like the way you paint me, like you really hate me. Cause I dress how I want. Do it up, do it up. And when the night is gone, well, I'll run the sun. Well, I'll run the
Obviously, it's a podcast. When it comes out, it will be in the next few weeks. But someone could also hear it 5 years from now or 10 years from now, because apparently I can never stop making these. So it'll be floating around the internet for some time. What's the best way for someone to hear your music and find out what you're up to, you know, whether they hear it now or in 2046 or something?
What if Instagram doesn't exist then?
Maybe let's go to like 2030 maybe or something. Yeah.
Instagram is mainly where we post all of our updates for shows and announcements. We have TikTok now. We make stupid videos on there, so please check it out. And our music is just everywhere you listen to music, Apple Music, Spotify.
Support us. You can go to Bandcamp, where you can purchase the music, as well as I think you can listen to it once or twice for free.
Yeah, so if you really just want to hear it all, we have, if there's still vinyls that we need to sell in 2030,
One of the last from the limited 200 edition that we made. So
cool.
Yeah, Bandcamp, you can do it or any of the social medias. We also have a website, which is thehaleysmusic.com.
And then for the people who are listening in the present, is there anything in the next couple months coming up that you want to plug? Any shows or anything exciting going on?
Well, we have September. I'm not sure if this will come out before Breakout West, but we were
part of it.
Yeah,
it should, yeah.
Yeah, we are going to be a part of it before.
Yeah, Vegas. Breakout West, September 25th at the Park Theater, and then September 27th at the Royal Albert Arms.
I'm so excited.
That's
finally
cool.
Not played at the Albert before, so this will be our Albert debut, and we're going to be doing a Good Haley's, Bad Haley's, two different sets, one for each of those shows, so
cool.
Come see both.
I love how this is your first Albert show, because it's one of the things that is the most interesting about interviewing people from like various generations, because I started going to the Albert when I was like 14, you know, sneaking in, going to punk shows. And like for my whole generation of friends, that was just a thing you did. You went to the Albert all the time. And then I meet people who are, you know, through doing the podcast, who are 10, 15, 20 years younger than me. And it's just not a thing that happens. So it's very cool to hear whenever I hear someone playing the Albert for the first time. It's very exciting because I did it when I was, I think, 15, played the Albert for the first time. We got yelled at. I was in a ska band in the late 90s, and we got yelled at by some drunk guy screaming, wanting to hear Motorhead covers the whole time. And we didn't know any Motorhead covers, but it was, the Albert is a great experience. And I think that even though it's a little different than it was back then, it's obviously nicer now. There's no blood on the floor or holes in the wall or whatever, but it's still like a rite of passage, I think, right? Even though you've already accomplished things and you're already a known name, I think playing the Albert is very cool to hear. It's awesome. I'm glad you're doing it.
Or super excited to check it off the list.
Yeah.
Right on.